I'm Jasmine Stein. I'm speaking with Dee Forrest. And I'm here with the Oral History Summer School. It's June 27th, Saturday, June 27th, 2015. And we're still in front of Rogerson's Hardware. Would you introduce yourself as well?
Dee Forrest speaking.
Thank you. So you mentioned you wanted to tell a story.
Lots of stories. But I was explaining the four provinces in Ireland about Ulster. The emblem from Ulster is a red hand from here on up. And the story is, if you ever see it on a flag or an emblem, there's a red hand and then there's a drop of blood underneath it. And the legend is that two kings in Scotland wanted to invade Ireland. Two brothers, I think, or whatever. And whichever one of them got to the shore first would be the king of Ireland. And one brother was beating the other brother getting close to the shore. So the king who was in the rear stood up in his boat, pulled out his sword, cut off his own hand, and threw it onto the shore. That's where the red hand of Ulster comes from. And it has always been used as a symbol for Protestantism. Still is today, but I don't look at it. I just like the emblem. That's that story. And I'm always looking for little hat pins or badges with the red hand of Ulster. It just appeals to me. Stop right there now. I'll take another one. Child lighters. They haven't been made since the 70s, I suppose. And whenever I put it into eBay, it comes up as Rothschild with a German word after it. That's neither here nor there. Are you ready for it? Put on that recorder and I'll tell you about my feelings toward Ireland.
Okay.
Ireland is a bog hole from one end to the other. I told my son that when he came around to March 17, because I don't say St. Patrick's Day. And of course, in school, they have a big thing about St. Patrick. And I always told him, the teacher ever asked him, "Oh, your dad is from Ireland. What do you know about Ireland?" And he says that Ireland is a bog hole from one end to the other.
How old is he?
He's 16 now. He's going to Ireland now next week for the first time. I'm not going. Persona non grata. Wasn't invited. But here's the story for you. So, I used to read an English magazine called The Listener when I lived in Ireland. It was for the radio. And then I used to get it in America by post. I'm going back now to the late 80s. Then I went out of business. Nobody was reading it. Too expensive. And one of the last articles I read in it was about two Oxford dons who went on a weekend to a little Midland town in England, much like Hudson here, like an artsy town. And this had to have gone back in the 50s, I suppose. And they're walking down the street and there's a few art galleries and they're looking in at some painting and they're talking about it. One Don says to his friend, "Oh, that painting is by so-and-so." And his colleague said, "Dreadful painting, dreadful." Fine. So when my son was 2 years old here in Hudson, I stayed at home, my wife was at work. And I taught him that we'd go to a window, we'd look at the paintings, and we'd wait till somebody would come by. And then as they come by, he'd say, "Dada, dreadful paintings, dreadful." He's still all embarrassed now about that, you know. But he used to do it for me. We had some fun up and down these streets 14 years ago.
My father used to set me up to say things.
Yeah, fun. And then I taught him his arithmetic. They don't teach it here in America, arithmetic. 2 multiplied by 2 was 4, up to 12, but that's where I was taught. And he was, that's how he fell asleep at night time, was learning his math, how to divide, multiply, add and subtract. It's simple, and now he's excellent at math, because he has the basic foundation of how to do his math and think in his head figures rather than doing his thumbs and stuff. But I used to, then we split out to the second show down here. It's like a trip stop for the hospital. And again, I used to get him to say, go into the store, ask the price of something, and tell the clerk, we're Jewish, we don't pay retail. All the time, just for me having fun. It was for my entertainment, as he's at his expense. But some people still remind me. I used to ride a bike, not this bike, another bike, when he was small. I have him on the back of the bike, and we were seeing on Fairview Avenue on the bike, on the bike, nice middle of winter, and it's minus 22 degrees. And he's all bundled up with his fur hat. He used to wear, of course, he won't wear it now, of course. He had a Russian fur hat, nicely bundled up, so do I, and cycling along there, mind my own business, smoking my pipe. People would say, who the fuck is he, you know? What kind of a nut is that, you know? And more people have said it to me, I've seen you around for years, smoking your pipe and on your bike, you know? Because I don't drive.
Neither.
I do own a tractor, but I don't drive. It's very convenient not to drive, because you have to drive to go places and bring people here and there, you know? So, that's it.
Is the son you're talking about your only child?
Yeah. My wife said, you collect everything except children. But I'm only one of those. Now, don't get me talking about guns, please, because I have a serious collection of guns.
I won't then.
We like to shoot. And
what does it do for you?
It's recreation. That's what it is. Very expensive now, though. You turn this off a minute, because I'm going to be interrupted here by somebody behind you. What are you doing? Taking some exercise? Losing some weight?
Walk down the front street and back.
How many pounds have you knocked down now?
I think 4. I've been on a diet for about 2 months. So
4?
I'm not doing too well.
Right. Well, you're not putting it on.
I feel good, and then I open a beer. You know?
Yeah. All right, Tootie. He's now. Don't talk to this guy coming up, because he'll never shut up. He'll inundated you with nonsense.
Michael.
With nonsense.
Michael,
yeah. Nice guy. Bit peculiar.
So do you recall any Irish songs? You said you don't sing, but you recite.
Well, I used to. I know a lot of... Sure, I do. But to take them off the top of my head now, I...
How about Gaelic?
I can. I've kind of forgotten. You know, except
you spoke Gaelic.
Yeah, well, we learned it in school. Not all the country. Certain parts spoke Gaelic or Irish among themselves, but Gaelic is still the national language in Ireland.
Oh, is it really?
And when I left, you were still entitled to speak to any government official
in Gaelic.
You were a policeman, had to be able to speak Gaelic and respond to you correctly in Gaelic. If you had a court case, you were entitled to have that court case in Gaelic.
Really?
And all official letters were addressed to you in English, of course, but the opening, like, Dear Sir, it was a Cara, my friend, and then it closed with Michel Lemass, I am your friend. Michel Lemass, I am yours. But sometimes it was a personal closing. Of course, there'd be a litany of Jesus freaks and whatever else you want to call him, Mary's added to it. It was impossible. Because I had no time for the RCs. You know who the RCs are? The Roman Catholics. A bunch of God-fearing pedophiles, you name it. Now it's all coming out, you know? Throwing babies down wells. Shit went on, you know? Yeah. Shit went on, buddy. We didn't know anything. We didn't know anything. I didn't know half of what was going on. Oh, he's Jeanette. Man, you want to get it in stereo now. I tell you, boy. These two.
Jeanette's the quiet one.
Yeah. But she gets hopping too, boy.
Does
she? Oh, yeah. When you get her going, she jumps up and down. Almost like, I shouldn't. No, they're nice people, don't get me wrong. But they're not judgmental like I am.
I don't smoke. The bar is better. I don't smoke anymore.
I have the lighter. So, when I was probably 1972, whatever age I was then, 14 and a half, 15, I didn't want to smoke cigarettes like the rest of the boys going to school. I'm out and I bought a pipe. My parents, I mean, everybody did it. My parents didn't say anything. So I'm standing in the street corner hanging out in school and I'm smoking my pipe, and that was fine. And
14 years old.
15. I must have been 15. And I had a box of matches in my pocket right here. Red-headed matches for lighting my pipe. I'm in class doing mechanical drawing, and we had individual seats. There was probably three or four rows, and the teacher was walking up and down. We had a problem on the board about a pyramid or a ratio or something, and he had a T-square, and he was flicking the T-square, like, and he hit me right here, and the box of matches exploded.
Wow.
I made a big burn on my leg and burnt my pants. If that happened today, I'd be made. Then everybody laughed, and it was my own fault. How you doing, guys?
You're gonna get victimized too, I guess. Any way to date this pretty exactly that you could possibly hear? Is that a 40s into 50s upscale toy, a remnant of one?
It looks like a.
Sooner or later,
it looks like a skateboard missing the front. Hey, Bill.
It's a trail.
Lay down.
Look the way it's made.
No, that's fine. Don't worry.
See the way it's made. So, is there any way you, with your skill set, can say that's a late 40s item?
I would say no later than 1960.
Let me see that.
Good. That's what I wanted to hear. So, that was my guess. I was going to make a joke. It looks like some.
Well, it's Smith Miller.
Do you know the brand?
Incorporated. I know anything about toys. I never had a toy.
Well, see the way it's made. Look at the end of it.
Okay, we got it. We got it.
I'm Froy
Up makes trailers.
It's a nice trailer. You know?
Heavyweight, yeah.
Where's the rest of it?
That's it. There isn't the rest of it.
I could tell you what kind of wood this is as well. You know that?
What?
I could tell you what kind of wood.
That helps me. What is it? What
kind of wood it is. It looks like, it's probably plywood. It looks like,
It looks like mahogany.
Mahogany on the bottom. Up here it doesn't look like
mahogany. Like oak.
Yeah.
But I got to start. I got to start with what I already know. And then I get confirmation to get updated by people who know more.
You just go online and find out. There's a pair of wheels missing here. Oh,
it's the holder up.
It's the landing gear.
Yeah, landing gear. Look at this. They're individual. Too expensive. Even with the expensive toys.
Those wheels now, they never pass now. They're worn down. I like it.
Me too. So I just take this, I put it in my office.
Where'd you get it?
Oh, second show.
Oh, you did?
It was priced, so they said $2. And they forgot it was half price.
Oh, it's
good.
Huh?
$2. How you doing, Jeanette?
Okay.
Thanks.
With a 537 state, some of the construction work is going slow, and I have to be fair to the official contractor, but I would be open to other people doing like one day assignments, and like one day certain things that can be like okay, say.
Who's over there? Who's working for you over there now?
Harold Baldwin.
Oh, and I think Michael told me about him. Somebody recommended him to you,
right?
Yeah, I never heard him.
Yeah. I can't promise you anything, but...
Don't promise me anything, because I can't promise you anything either.
Yeah, but if like, one day I need something done and I'm... would you be... perhaps even painting one wall or building one little minor stairway or something, or putting window trim around windows. Would you?
Yeah. What's your? Do you have a contract with him? A verbal contract or a written contract?
Basically verbal.
Basically verbal.
Yeah.
But you want to get a move on this?
But there's so. But I'm keeping track of it, and we've exchanged some written stuff, sort of indirectly.
Yeah. Let me know. You see me around, and I'll go take a look and see if I can give you some advice.
Yeah. Do you have workman's compensation?
No, why did you ask me that now?
Because I told Harold, hey, if you're too slow, so I might ask some other people to do one-day assignments. And he said, well, you better ask them all if they have workman's compensation and insurance.
Well, liability insurance.
You know why he asked you that, don't you?
Because he wants to discourage me from it.
There you go.
Yeah.
So the answer to the question from you is
yes.
I have insurance.
You will get that.
Yeah.
You gotta do these things this way.
You gotta be firm, you know.
It's a crafty world out here.
Yeah.
Out here.
Yeah. Well, the people who really get things done, they have arrangements with, say, five different builders, and when they start with one, when one slacks off, they get to another. When the other slacks off, they return to the first or go to another. And they.
The point is, a lot of those people, they're also, they have to import people. All right.
I'll see you around.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, I'll help you out, Jeanette.
What did you say?
I'll help you out.
Okay, if it's needed. I don't.
You're covering your options here, yeah. That's fine.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Oh, a motorbike's coming. We don't want to hear that. Oh, nothing. Please. Getting married. Same shit every Saturday with these fuckheads. Look at them. Such a waster. Same stuff every Saturday.
No. That's the wedding.
I know that, yeah. Well.
So is your bicycle related to your work?
That's how I get around.
Excuse
me. Yeah. Hop my bike, park anywhere. You know. I don't go very far from the into Warren Street up to the top. That's my work. More, these are the late comers.
In terms of
just very unreliable food.
Yeah. Attitude.
They don't care.
Attitude. Attitude. So this American goes to Ireland. One of my college lecturers told me this in the 70s. Goes to Ireland for his vacation, and he's dressed in his iron sweater and his checkered tartan pants. And he checks into the best hotel, he has a shower, and he comes out. He's still pretty much dressed the same. And he's walking down O'Connell Street in Dublin, and he sees a bunch of workmen working on the sidewalk, what we would call the pavement. And he's looking at him, and he recognized that one man would be the foreman or the boss, and he said, "Excuse me, Pat or sir, what are you doing?" The Irishman says, "We're laying the pavement here, we're putting down nice flagstones." The Irishman says, "No, sir, do you mind me asking, what do you do in America?" He says, "Well, I'm a nuclear physicist. I work in a laboratory, and there are times when I have to work to the accuracy of 1/1000 of an inch. And the Irishman, "Jesus Christ, sir, you're never doing this job, because we've got to be spot on." The Irishman always made a lot of fun of the American tourists, you know, and his American cousins. So this American has cousins in England, and he goes, and he's met at the airport by one of his distant cousins, very polite, and his cousin, his English cousin, informed there'd be a dinner party tonight for him. And he goes, and all the guests are dressed up in dinner jackets, and the women have long dresses, and he's dressed there with his leisure suit, and they're sitting down, and one of the women lets a fart go, and the guy with her apologizes. "Oh, pardon me, must have been the cucumber." American says nothing. A while later, another lady lets a fart go, and the guy with her says, "Oh, pardon me, it must have been the, it must be the Yorkshire dumpling." So after dinner, of course, the women went off into one room, and the men were inside smoking cigars and port, and he said to his cousin, "I couldn't help noticing there at dinner, all those women were farting, all you guys were apologizing." And his cousin said, "We don't like to have our ladies embarrassed. When they have a little flatulation, we apologize for them." The Yang said, "Geez, that's great. Wait till I go back to the office and tell the guys." So he had a great vacation. The night before he leaves, there's another dinner party. And he's sitting down, and a woman lets a fart go. He says, "Guys, nobody move. This fart's on me." They are my jokes I can tell girls.
I'm all ears.
You're all ears for more, for more.
No, you're a lot more than all ears.
All ears. So, I used to collect banjos in Ireland, and I'm hitchhiking somewhere, and I see a banjo in a window of an old store. And it's 100 miles from Dublin, so I said I should go back down there and see it once with a banjo. Like, I think I had 18 banjos and couldn't play a note, but I wanted one more, you know. And I take the train down to the nearest town, and then I hitchhike 10 miles to the town and buy the banjo. And I hitch back to the train station, wait for a couple of hours for the next train up to Dublin. And that's fine. But on the carriage, about at the other end of the carriage, was a guy with a big long beard. I could hear him. He was telling some great stories. But I didn't want to go up there and be embarrassed by saying, by someone telling me to fuck off. This is not your conversation. So I didn't say anything. When I saw him, and I recognized him. And a while later, a friend of mine is telling me, "You've got to meet my friend Ronan. You've got to meet Ronan. Ronan and you would be get on great because you both smoke a pipe, you both take snuff, and you're good at telling stories. And I'm in this bar. I remember the name of it now, Slattery's and Rat Mines. And my friend Paul introduced me to Ronan. And I told him, I remember you on the train coming up from Lermy Junction telling stories on the train. He says, yeah, you told me. He says, yeah, Jesus. He says, pity I didn't know you then. We could have went for a drink somewhere across the river, you know, like when you get off the train. So we became great friends from that. But Ronan was 10 years older than me. I remember I was 29 and he was maybe 39 or 40. And he came from, his older brother was in the Dubliners, as a group called the Dubliners. And he's Kieran Burke, but drink paralyzed him. But after a while, when Roman got to know me better, he brought me up to meet his parents, and his parents were older, and his father had a wooden leg, and he was Dr. Burke. Very nice man, you know, older man. He was well retired. He was probably in his 80s then, you know, and his mother was old. And Kieran went to a private school, but he got expelled when he was 14 for drinking whiskey. That kind of a way, you know. And he had another friend who, before that, he brought into the house. And his other friend asked Ronan's father, who Ronan had never known, how he lost his leg. He never asked his own father how he lost his leg, but the story is that he lost his leg during what the Irish called the Troubles in the 20s in the Civil War. He got shot. Of course, that time, they couldn't take out the bullet or save him. They just cut it off above the knee, and he walked with a stick and a limp. But Ronan was the man who introduced me to rare books and bookbinding. And that's where I got my interest for collecting antiquarian books from. And Ronan, Ronan, R-O-N, Fada, which is an accent over the A, is an island on the west coast of Ireland. That's where he got his name from, because his family were very Republican. So he Ronan, Kieran, he had a brother who had never met and a sister, and they all had Irish names, I know they did. For a fact. But he told me, I can't remember all the stories now, but he lived in a very Georgian square, red brick houses, three stories high, and he's coming out of his house or his parents' house, and across the square he see two guys coming out of his neighbor's house, and you can spot him, like, you know, like they were after breaking in. So he called the police and they caught the two guys who had broken in. And he was called as a witness.
Hey, Billy.
Hey, Bill.
There's a meeting of the minds.
Yeah.
And the mindless. Yeah, no, not hello. Referring to you, my dear.
Jasmine.
Bill. I think you drank a lot of Budweiser this morning.
No, not yet.
Not yet. Some other libation.
No.
He's going on fumes.
Oh, he's working on the.
I gotta go drop my laundry off, and then we'll think about it.
Yeah. No thinking about it. You will be doing.
Go down and check out the market.
How you feel? Come see, come sa.
Yeah.
Are you back working?
Nishtahir, nishtahin.
Are you back working?
Over here, over there.
Yeah, not seriously, but.
You're doing something.
But I'm keeping the rust off. Just
beautiful
enough to keep the rust off.
Pardon? A beautiful jewelry we have.
Hey. I got a nice friend to make some for me.
We saw that one too. Yeah.
She got busy the other day. We collaborate. We collaborated the other day.
Wow, that's beautiful.
She had some stone. I said, well, we can make something out of that.
Yeah.
No. There she be.
She made this one
different.
Too?
Yeah, she made that. Made this. That. She's good. For you. Hey, where'd you get that deal? You've been going to a tanning salon, I know it.
Right,
you lying sack of shit.
Right here, baby. Right
no.
Here.
You've been going to the tanning salon.
I
got to
realize I had a head start.
No. You've been going to the tanning salon.
No.
You
know, semites.
Some of those Jews are part Arab. You know, they're dark-skinned anyway.
You've been going to the tanning salon.
Yes.
I know him. He's bad.
Sephardic
and Ashkenazi.
I know. You've been going to the tanning salon. You know why? There's three chicks here.
Fucking drunk.
There's three chicks there that he's messing with.
See, many times he's repeating himself now.
Three. Well, because that's all you can handle.
Talking about nonsense they're looking at.
I maxed out at six.
What?
I'm talking to myself.
Goodbye.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Shag off.
Here's
Shag off. Au revoir.
Au Wiedersehen.
He hasn't stopped since he was... It's about the 70s.
Arrivederci.
He's imbibing. You like that word, imbibing? Imbibing. Yeah. Where's a bunch of flowers today, Bill?
Let's
come back with a bunch of flowers now for his squeeze. You know? A bunch of lilies or something, you know? Probably name is Lily anyway.
Okay. I went by it earlier, but you were busy with going.
So where was in the story? Oh.
Father.
Ronan and his name, right? Oh, so the court case. You need a long beard.
Well, I do.
And
well, you were, like
very
you were
anti-Catholic and anti-religion.
So
and he's up in the witness stands, and the clerk gives him the Bible.
You were in a deep conversation. Oh, you and were screwing with your mother. You were okay.
He says, no, no, no. I'm not going to swear on that. Meaning that he wanted to take an oath rather than swear on the Bible. And the clerk says, oh, I understand. The Old Testament.
I gotta go drop my laundry.
Did he accept that? Or he...
Yeah, it was too good to... It was too good not to swear on the Old Testament.
I want to take a run down there.
Because have to have fun.
Yeah, before
I'd
like to go down.
Hey, Kevin.
I'm
going
to
drop you in the laundry and hurry up.
That's what I'm going to do.
How long have you been in Hudson?
So you think maybe like Saturday?
June of 2001. Just before 9/11. Just in time. I knew some people who...
Just in time as in you left New York City?
Yeah. I knew some people who used to work in Windows of the World. But I'm not going there right now. No, we're going there. Hardy buys some ballast of air. Bill is just, he's a drunk.
Yeah, well, you know, he's, Bill, the guy was just here. Great craftsman. Very, very good carpenter, cabinet maker. But, and it doesn't matter whether he's drinking or not, it's always the same. The residual effect now is ingrained in him.
Yeah.
You can't tell the difference.
But the only problem with that is if he had an accident. He fell off a scaffolding somewhere.
Fell off a roof.
Fell off a roof onto the ground. But when you're working with lead power tools, especially saws, and you a few drinks on, you get cut, you know.
You can really get hurt.
Yeah. seriously, you got to pay attention. He's lucky he survived that fall, you know. But he can't stop.
I have a friend who's a woodworker and going straight down the path of serious alcoholism. And it's very hard to watch.
Sad.
The drink gets a hold of you, boy. Nasty.
Yep.
Nasty. I love food. Drink.
If you'd been sitting here in 2001 when you arrived, like, what was different?
Some of the stores were different. Rogerson's is still the same, been the same since 1832. Bart wasn't here, he's only here the last 3 years. There was a store in the corner, I forget what was there, it has been changed so many times. Carrie Adat was there, the clothing store was there, Modern was there, Mark is gone now. There was a clothing store here.
Yeah.
I forget what was next door. Yeah, there was a toy shop down the street. Yeah, things have changed. New places, new faces, new stores.
If you want to see what this street looked like, if you go to Newark, New Jersey, there's a street in Newark called Ferry Street.
Ferry?
Ferry.
Is it in the main drag?
It's in the Portuguese area.
Oh.
It looks like the area I remember in the 50s and 60s. Individual stores, no chains, shoe store, food store, clothing store, bakery, restaurant.
You didn't think Steinway Street was like that?
Steinway Street in Queens is a little like that.
I know that's true.
Bushwick Avenue in Brooklyn, but it's become very low end.
I was speaking to a woman who has been on the corner of Bushwick and Sidon since the 30s. And she was describing the trolley, the ice cream parlors, all the different stores, precisely what was where. Very interesting.
There's a street in Brownsville called Pitkin, P-I-T-K-I-N Avenue.
Pitkin?
Pitkin.
Yeah, like in Pitkin Island?
No, not Pitcairn, Pitkin.
Yeah.
And that was one of the major shopping streets in Brooklyn. But things have changed.
Why do they call a store, but yet you go shopping?
You don't go storing.
Exactly.
You go shopping. Well, you can call it a shop.
Yeah.
Store because it stores things.
That,
shop what? Because you're buying things.
Yeah.
I told you it was primitive.
Yeah. I could work it out
with
a pencil. I could work it out with a pencil.
You know, not all things are subject to calculation.
No.
Edgar Allan Poe has an interesting remark that he makes. He thinks that checkers is a superior game to chess. Right? And he offers the following reason. Chess requires mere calculation. Checkers requires thought. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, Irishman.
Well, see, think, plan, do. Yeah.
Well, of course, Edgar Allan Poe was a drug addict and an alcoholic, so who knows what he really was thinking at the time.
It sounds good.
Yeah.
Which is important for a writer, so.
Very good.
Forest.
It's the forest.
The forest. Is there anything?
D-E-F-O-R-R-E-S-T.
Two separate words. Yes, what was your question?
Is there anything you would like to add before I shut off the recorder?
I'd like to America is the best country in the world. How's that?
However.
There's no however. It is in the story.
I am
dumbfounded
with that last remark. As critical as you are of things, the man has spoken. Matter, but this harkens back to what we were talking about.
Rome has spoken, the matter is settled. Have you heard that? Ever heard that before? You did?
She's an educated person, of course she's heard it.
Is David the sentence?
It goes back to my earlier remark about the mobility and the opportunity here.
Go away. Fuck off. You like these? Me and these don't agree. Look at this Chinaman coming down here. What do you think he thinks of America?
The restaurant.
This coolie.